Hey friends, it's Peggy Hall back with you from the healthyamerican.org. You have been asking me to interview this very special guest. So here we have Dane Wigington from geoengineering.org. He is the executive producer for that groundbreaking climate engineering documentary that you have been sending me links to and that I have seen, and it's called The Dimming. He's going to be talking about that. Dane has a background in solar energy. He was a former employee of Bechtel Power Corporation. He was just telling me that he lives basically off grid in Northern California. We're going to be hearing about that and how he got into really sounding the alarm on what I think is the most heinous perpetration of evil up to, you know, to this time, because it affects everyone. I kind of joke a little bit about all of the cooties cocktails and things that we were subjected to over the last few years. A lot of people got exemptions for that. Dane, there's no exemption for being sprayed like bugs. So we're so grateful to have you here on board. And take us back just a little bit. When did you start geoengineeringwatch.org and geoengineering.org? And why is that so important to you? How did you get started in this?
If I could just clarify, geoengineering.org is not us.
Geoengineeringwatch.org is the correct.
Yes, geoengineeringwatch.org. Yeah, just want to make sure people get to the right site, because there are some pro geoengineering websites there that try to push this issue. And certainly that is not us. But I'm very grateful again for your willingness to dive into this issue, to expose it, to help us to pull back the curtain. The process by which I became involved in this battle now about 20 years ago, when I tried to escape the smoggy, filthy skies of Southern California from the time of my childhood, and I finally made it to Northern California, remote location, off-grid, solar, wind, and hydropower. My home was on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. I had some background in industrial solar, working with Bechtel Power Corporation, the world's largest engineering firm. So this being in this arena and building this off-grid home, and as soon as it was completed, losing on some days 60, 70, 80% of my solar power uptake from whatever these aircraft were emitting, I knew something was radically wrong, that could not be just, quote, condensation. And I want to stress, that's not an 80% drop in visible light. It's direct sunlight. You have to have direct sunlight for solar panels to work. And it's not just my home, by the way, Peggy. It's, you have commercial solar installations that are producing about half of their design output because of what's happening in our skies. And isn't it hypocritical and frankly astounding that we have the so-called green community denying that climate engineering is going on, pushing solar panels, wind, and hydro, all three of which are radically diminished by climate intervention operations, and including wind. And if we look at wind power, I just want to throw this into the equation because it is a huge part of the equation. We have so much controversy in that arena now. What climate engineering is doing is creating all or nothing wind scenarios. The consistent breezes that we once had that would have been advantageous for solar are now greatly diminished. We have an all or nothing scenario. So here's what happens with wind power. If you double the wind velocity, you actually decrease, or you can increase the total power output by 8 times, except they can't do that with the wind power because they have to shut the turbines off. If you increase the wind speed too much, they have to shut the turbines off completely. If you cut the wind speed in half, you diminish the turbine output by a factor of 8. So in either case, you either increase the wind velocity, you shut the turbines off to keep them from being damaged, or when you have less or no wind, which is the case with my turbines now in Northern California, there's almost no wind ever, they're virtually worthless. So, and on the hydropower, you know, until this year, the drought we had in the Western US, you know how severe that was. And we have the Hoover Dam and Glen Canyon Dam, both of which nearing their Deadpool point, which means there would be no water flowing out of the dam, no hydropower. That's directly related to climate engineering, again, cutting off the flow of precipitation. So we have at Geoengineering Watch a great deal of angst toward the entire so-called environmental community for their willful denial of this biggest of all factors in the equation.
Yeah, that is really something. I'm glad that you brought that up. And when we look at the drought in California, I mean, I have always been skeptical about any of these events being natural. It's just not natural. I am a lifelong Californian. I remember blue skies. I remember fog. We don't even have fog anymore because there's not enough moisture in the air. We are being told not to water our lawns, to rip out the lawns, to replace them with grass. And of course, that creates more of a desert environment, and it just feeds into what I believe is their agenda. So let's, I've got some questions from the audience. I want to dive right into this, Dane. Who is doing this? You know, are these just pilots that need a part-time job? Are these drones? Is it the military? Is it the government? Is it other governments? Who actually is behind this?
Okay, there's several questions woven into that. If we talk about who is piloting the aircraft, again, we cannot know in any individual circumstance if a plane may in fact be a drone or if there's a pilot, but we have no reason to doubt that there would be pilots because there are many that are willing to undertake this kind of operation. Obviously, if we look at Agent Orange being sprayed in Vietnam, were those pilots told that this is going to kill your comrade on the ground eventually and countless civilians? They weren't told that, and many probably wouldn't care even if they were. So we have no way of knowing on the piloting of the planes, but we have no reason to doubt that they are being piloted. In fact, we are communicating with some commercial pilots that know this is going on. They're covertly leaving geoengineering watch material or 20-page booklets, for example, in their pilot lunchrooms and so forth to try to introduce the issue. In regards to the ultimate question of who are they, who is responsible for these programs, all roads, Peggy, lead back to those who control the printing of the money, those who control the central bankers, control militaries, thus they control countries, they control the matrix, period. At this point, for anybody to believe that any elected official, including the occupants of the White House, whatever political stripe they may wear, are actually directing anything, that's a very, very naive notion. The occupants of the White House are simply used to polarize populations, to take their eye off the wider horizon, to keep them infighting until the last possible moment. And that's exactly what's occurring right now. So again, they are the ones who print the money, and that is the controllers of the strings for the matrix.
So the question becomes, Dane, why are they doing it? It's so destructive. Why? What is their agenda? Why are they doing this?
It's a very complex question as well. And we hope that more in alt media put all the puzzle pieces together because it's not a this or that equation. So we have a power structure that wants to keep business as usual until the last possible moment. So like the pharmaceutical cure for the human body. How many pharmaceutical commercials do we see? Take a new pharmaceutical for a particular symptom and you look at the downstream consequences, you wonder who would take that, but people do. So they have tried to keep business as usual because if the machine can't move forward, it collapses. So by masking the true severity of damage done to the climate already by countless forms of human activity, they are inflicting even more damage. This is the single most destructive environmental factor of all. Climate engineering. But by engineering, for example, cool downs, Peggy, you saw what's happened here in California this winter, all the snow, it's chemically nucleated snow. We know that because we're testing it. But how many Californians think the drought is all fine now? Everything's okay. We're back to normal. And they simply go back to sleep at the wheel. This toxic precipitation has not done anything to help our dying forests. They're dying even faster because this precipitation kills soil microbiome. It affects root systems. They sense the toxins like aluminum. They shut down nutrient uptake. Every fir tree in Western forests is in some stage of decline or death right now. And I live in the middle of a fir forest. So again, I'm speaking firsthand. So by engineering these types of events, these engineered cool downs, or you've perhaps seen in Denver is one prime location where we've seen repeatedly them go from all-time record highs in the 80s to single digits in snow in one day or less. That is not nature. And what we hope that people who are trying to fight climate engineering will incorporate into their effort is a recognition of the fact that these flash cool downs are a result of climate engineering and chemical ice nucleation, because that is skewing people's perception as to the true damage to the climate. And let me give one more example that's very important. You remember how cold it was here in the US, at least the Western US, in March? Snow. We had the same thing here. We had almost 30 inches of snow that we've never had here before in my location, jets flying over. You can hear them in the cloud canopy flying over back and forth. We don't live in the end of an LAX runway. They were chemically nucleating this moisture. So when we look at world temperatures, and this is important, and this is not about agreeing with Al Gore or liking Al Gore or any of his ilk, the hypocrisy there is immense, but it's about reality. When we look at the entire month of March, global departure from normal high temperatures, we see a planet that is red, except for the western half of the North American continent, one blue zone in the entire world terrestrially. That's not nature, that's climate engineering. But as you can guess, people who live in this zone think, what's everybody complaining about? It's so cold here. Does that make sense?
It's really extreme when you look at and when you experience what's going on. I'm one of those people that love to look at the weather on my phone, and it's stunning because it changes frequently and it's also crazily accurate. And so I'm thinking they are just serving this up. They've already planned it out. They already know what's on the menu. How do they know exactly how long the rain is going to fall, when it's going to begin, when it's going to end? That is also very eerie and strange to me. These extreme changes in temperature, again, I never experienced that as a child. In Southern California, we never really had thunderstorms. And I remember a little bit more as a younger, you know, my younger adulthood, that was the first time I really saw these like thunderstorms. And we experienced very, very extreme heat. And that also got my interest in the weather going, because I'm an, you know, Southern California outdoors person. And I started to see that this was very strange. A couple of summers ago, we had 100-degree temperatures on the sand, on the beach in Southern California, unheard of. And yeah, this is not from using too many plastic straws and not throwing away your plastic, you know, grocery bags. This is, like you say, it is by design. And why are they doing it? That's the next question. I mean, is this to destroy the planet? Is it what I think is going on is they are accelerating all of this so that they can point to humanity and say, you're the cause of it. We're going to tax you. You can't drive your gas, you know, combustion cars. You can't have natural gas in your homes. You can't drive more than the number of miles that we say. You can't have plastic straws. It's more control because the evidence of the destruction is so plain to see for those who have eyes. But why do you think they're doing this?
Well, again, let me back up to what you stated earlier. You're completely correct with the scheduled weather and these script readers all the way down to the local meteorological level. That's exactly what they're doing, is reading scripts. And that's why you're seeing exactly what you're seeing. And you're completely correct. And the scripts do change frequently. And in regards to when the rain's going to start, when's it going to stop, their control over precipitation rates is profound. And that's not just done by the seeding of cloud moisture with these toxic elements, but the frequency transmissions that control those elements are part of how they dictate when precipitation will increase or decrease. Depending on the frequency and the type of element, they can cause coagulation of those elements, which brings them together in a larger particle, which is conducive to the raindrops combining and falling. Or they can scatter those particles, too many small condensation nuclei. The droplets don't combine, they don't fall, they just migrate. So you have days and days of this featureless cloud canopy with nothing falling out. And as far as who's doing the scripts, Raytheon and Lockheed Martin do all the weather modeling for the National Weather Service, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the FAA. So we have those that are neck deep in climate engineering patents and operations, literally making the script that's passed down through every agency, all the way to the local meteorologist level. And why wouldn't the National Weather Service and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration employees speak out about this? Because there's an illegal federal gag order on them right now. If that's not a massive red flag, I don't know what is. So again, back to that question of why, as I alluded to earlier, again, the planet is definitely damaged, very, very damaged. Climate engineering, a big part of that damage, but not the only part. And that's what I'm trying to stress. We need to form an argument, Peggy, where people from every side of this issue, from every side of the climate anything issue, understand that there's no legitimate discussion about this issue without first and foremost addressing climate engineering. No matter what your conclusion is, that must be addressed first. But I think it's important for us at the same time to acknowledge that we've been really bad stewards of planet Earth. We've cut down the forests, we've paved the planet, we've poisoned the oceans. We're going through 100 million barrels of carbon fuel every single day. All of that's a problem. Where climate engineering makes all of it exponentially worse is climate engineering has disabled the planet's ability to respond to this problem. So let's look at the increase in carbon in the atmosphere, which is not the wonderful thing that so many people try to paint it as. If you, water's beneficial for all of us, right? We could only go 2 or 3 days without water, correct? But if you're 10 feet underwater, you're not going to last 2 or 3 minutes, too much. And the same is true with CO2. You can't just change atmospheric chemistry to this degree. We also have methane and nitrous oxide. So we have a problem there, but the planet would have tried to respond in much more effective fashion if not for climate engineering. We would have had forest, tropical, and boreal responding to increased carbon by trying to uptake that carbon, but they can't now because climate engineering has poisoned the soils. It's destroying the atmosphere, starting with the ozone layer, which is bombarding the foliage with intense UV radiation. We have a disruption of the hydrological cycle. From every conceivable direction, climate engineering is decimating the planet's life support systems and thus their ability to respond to the damage done.
Well, I agree with you on a lot of that, Dane. I think we do have a divergent opinion on the CO2, but your point is well taken about the climate engineering has to be addressed first because it is just exacerbating everything else.
What I hope is that people, though, research the CO2 issue because even we've heard people talk about how greenhouses, they force CO2 in, correct?
Yeah, I've heard that. About that, yes.
Okay, but they also purge it at night. They purge it out at night, and most don't know that. So if we look at pollen protein quantities, for example, that has decreased because of the change in atmospheric chemistry. So again, it's not to say that CO2 isn't necessary. Of course it's necessary. So is oxygen. But when you change atmospheric chemistry in the geologic blink of an eye, nothing can adapt to that. And yes, we have periods in Earth's history where we have CO2 counts significantly higher than they are now. And we had thriving ecosystems around the globe, but those changes took place over tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of years, not 150 years. So again, it's just important to plug everything into the equation. And I'm not in any sense a fan of the climate science community, Piggy. I want to make that clear. I mean, my disgust and disdain with the so-called climate science community is immense. And it is not just inexcusable, it is criminal for them not to acknowledge the climate engineering issue, which is by far the single most destructive human activity ever deployed by our species, greatest and most immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm.
There are so many negative side effects, devastating side effects for all of this. And where I really am filled with indignation is that then the government wants us to pay, and I'm just saying the government, meaning they, the bad guys, the evildoers, the puppet masters, whoever is behind this. And then they want to tax us. It's like a giant scheme where they are creating these devastating effects, blaming it on individuals or, you know, humanity, and then taxing us and controlling us for that in terms of, you know, carbon credits and carbon capturing. We definitely have to have a conversation on that down the road, Dane, because that is an area that is just, especially in California, it's another way of regulating people and, you know, strangling people. And also related to the research in terms, I just wanted to mention this as well, because I also have a different opinion on the age of the Earth. But those are things that people can research because we weren't there. We don't know that. We need to dig deeper for this evidence. And that's my next question is you have evidence for this, don't you? Your website is basically the one that pops up when people are researching geoengineering and, you know, why are they spraying the skies? I remember years ago when I first was flabbergasted by never seeing a blue sky. And I started to do the research. Your information came up. At the start of the show, you said that there are others out there sort of trying to divert the attention away from the research that you've been doing. So tell us a little bit about your website, what people can find there. It's such a valuable place for people to start their investigation.
Our only goal, Peggy, our only goal. We are non-political. We don't advertise. We don't sell anything other than materials to help people introduce this issue. We seem to have lost a signal. Peggy?
Oh, here we go. We're still here. I'm sharing my screen. Okay. And
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. Sorry. So we, here we are.
That. My screen is blank for a minute.
That's all right. We're at geoengineering.com.
That is our only goal. Uh-huh. That's our only goal. That's our mission statement. I want to back up to what you said earlier about the disaster capitalists. I want to fortify what you stated, and you're completely correct in the hypocrisy. Let me give an example of that. The California Air Resources Board, which is regulating everything for particulate matter in California, they are the epitome of criminal hypocrisy for the power structure. So I've spoken in front of the CARB board, in front of a room full of farmers that was being made to change their engines in everything because of the particulate matter those engines produce. And I forced the CARB board to admit at that meeting in front of this crowd that they completely ignore the climate engineering operations, which are a source of atmospheric particulate matter that's mathematically 100,000 times greater than anything that farm equipment can produce. And we're talking about much more toxic particulate matter, but the CARB board does nothing. They don't even acknowledge that source of particulate pollution because that's not in their quote jurisdiction. It's in nobody's jurisdiction by design. So it goes completely under the radar. So yes, the hypocrisy is absolutely immense. And again, that's back to my original point. From any perspective, all of us need to unite behind the fact that this issue needs to be exposed, period. And then we can evaluate where the planet's at, what the damage done is. But until we stop this issue, or unless we stop this issue, as you so correctly stated at the beginning of this broadcast, we cannot hide from what they're dispersing in our skies. We must breathe. And we now know from peer-reviewed study that we're inhaling as many, this is difficult to comprehend, we're inhaling as many as 20 million nanoparticles in every single breath we take. And people would question how that can be possible. You can fit up to 100,000 nanoparticles across the width of a single human hair. The smaller the particle, the more harmful it is. The smaller the particle, the more bioavailable it is, the more easily it's absorbed, and the more bioaccumulative it is. And we're talking about a witch's brew of aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers. Now we know graphene. Our last 100 plus lab tests almost all contain graphene. Graphene and polymer fibers, by the way, are biological carrier platforms. That's what they're used for militarily in biological warfare. So why wouldn't we question at that point what is being dispersed on us and what might they disperse on us if they feel they're really losing control? They can level the playing field overnight. So again, this is the most real and immediate fight for life that we face. And I hope it's prioritized, and we can talk about all the other issues later. But bottom line is, this is what amounts to biological warfare in addition to weather warfare. And if I could, I know I'm ranting. I want to fill in one more question I didn't completely answer for you on the why again. They're masking the damage done by creating these flash cool downs, sensationalizing the headlines, confusing populations as to the true state of damage done. But on top of that, this is weather warfare, period. We are seeing a systematic targeting of agricultural producing regions. It is far beyond any potential coincidence, either flash drought, flash flood, flash freeze, massive hail. We're seeing ag regions absolutely decimated all over the globe in very specific timing and critical windows. They're wiped out. And let's back that up to the beginning of every weekly broadcast at geoengineeringwatch.org, the global alert news broadcast. We're on 22 stations around the country. It's commercial free, non-political, but the first 20 seconds of that broadcast, and I know you've seen this, Peggy, I'm sure, that Lyndon Johnson in 1962, 61 years ago, stating on film, on the record, I encourage your listeners to look for that. They can find it where I just cited. And he states, we had the power to control the world's cloud layer then, and quote, he who controls the weather controls the world. So you control food supplies, control populations, you control the world. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, it is exactly what's happening. Weather warfare, and then you said biological warfare, which basically that is. And earlier, Dane, you mentioned the different frequencies. Is that related to HARP, to EMF? These are questions that come up from the audience. Does that fit into the picture? Is that under your purview?
Absolutely. It's inseparable from this issue. So Peggy, you know the heat wave that's happening right now in the Pacific Northwest? You've watched that.
Yes.
So That is signature ionosphere heater. HAARP is an ionosphere heater. It's a weapon of mass destruction, period. And the official sources attempt to play it down as some sort of a benign research facility. That couldn't be further from the truth. So what does HAARP do? It transmits up to 3.5 million watts of power into the electrically charged ionosphere. That causes an electrical chain reaction, which pushes the atmosphere up and down as it expands. That downward push is a high pressure heat dome. And we see that term now all the time. And they're referring to this high pressure heat dome over the Pacific Northwest right now as being a once in 1,000 year event. Why would they do that? When you create a high pressure heat dome in the Northern Hemisphere, it spins clockwise. That spins upper level winds clockwise around it, which spins moisture around it. So thus, as they're baking one area, they can spin the moisture around that pulley, atmospheric pulley, and now it's going back down into parts of the U.S. further inland, where we now see what amounts to monsoonal activity 2 months early, because they need the moisture to cool the surface down. They need moisture for chemical ice nucleating operations. And as far as those operations, I encourage people to search the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. These are patented processes. Chinese government openly announced they were engineering snowstorms. Popular Science covered it, Fox News, MSNBC. But if you bring it up here, suddenly you're marginalized. And even within the community that's fighting climate engineering, we desperately need them to recognize this aspect of climate engineering. It is a core part of it. Peggy, you see all the massive hail that's falling everywhere now? Right. You see the hailstorms?
Yeah.
It's now the norm to have baseball and softball size hail. That's chemical ice nucleating operations. And to see the extreme form of that, Peggy, you might look, and you might want to show this on your screen if you can, but if you search Lake Michigan ice balls, you'll see profound images. And there are many. Lake Michigan ice balls.
Let me pull this up. You know, a lot of my healthy Americans have sent me on the ground images. And let me just share my screen here. This is absolutely stunning. You mentioned this, you know, one in a thousand year storm. They use these kind of numbers as well, because there's no way of even proving that. Who was alive a thousand years ago? Who's going to be alive a thousand years from now? It's their way of covering this up. This is just absolutely stunning.
Anybody who thinks that that's a natural phenomenon needs to rethink their reality. So you have a core of ice nucleating elements, and it builds around that core. And we have so-called climate experts trying to explain this away as, again, being a natural phenomenon. So we have the entire meteorological and climate science community at this point, Peggy, acting as climate engineering cover-up agents. That's what they're doing. Weather Channel, Weather Central, all of them are simply being paid to cover the tracks of the climate engineers. And if I could, just lest I forget to mention the trajectory that we are on, I cannot stress enough that if we remain on this trajectory, none of us are going to be around much longer. And I don't care who rolls their eyes and walks away and thinks that's not possible, or they heard it before. They didn't hear it from us at Geoengineering Watch. They're hearing it from me now. And if our data is examined going back to our beginning 15 years ago, what we said would happen has happened, right down to the drought in California up to this year, when the script was changed. And even the beginning of this year, Peggy, the scheduled weather was for continued drought. But somewhere along the lines, they altered the schedule. This entire scenario is in a constant state of flux. Perhaps there's power brokers in California that begin to push back. We have a fraying of the power structure as those within it begin to realize they're on the sinking ship as well, and maybe pushing back against these programs. So we're back to the critical mass of awareness and the importance of reaching that critical mass of awareness, because then we have other people that realize, as I stated, they're going down the ship with the rest of us, and they're in a position to push back from behind the curtain. That's what we need to have happen.
That's a question that comes up. Aren't they subjected to the same devastating side effects that we are? Aren't their trees falling over in their backyard? Isn't their food being polluted? Aren't they breathing the same air? And I think that there are some people who are so committed to the solar screening and climate engineering because they think they are doing something good. It's really their religion. Then there are others that I think, you know, are doing it for money. Others that may be evil themselves and don't care that they are decimating the earth and the people. So that's a question that comes up. Are there types of remedies for this, for what we're breathing, for what the fallout is. Do you know of any, Dane? Is that something that you talk about at all? I've had my Healthy Americans send in their home remedies, but I've also heard of people putting out vinegar in their yard. Do you know anything that we're missing here about dealing with the side effects?
First, I want to back up to how you described those involved. You're completely correct. You described that very, very appropriately. It is all of the above involved with these programs. Those that believe, have convinced themselves they're doing something benevolent and for the greater good, which couldn't be further from the truth. Those that do whatever they're told to do for money, paycheck, and a pension. And those that are just simply addicted to power, even if they have to destroy the planet, as the saying goes, to rule over the ashes. So it's all the above, and you're completely correct in that regard. In regard about them doing this to themselves, and again, many people walk away from an issue like this because they can't get past that. And that's unfortunate, because if they simply look back at history, what have they done to themselves already? We have the detonation of 2,400 nuclear bombs all over the planet, which contaminated everything on Earth. We have Project Starfish Prime, which was the detonation of hydrogen bombs in the magnetosphere, and they had no idea what that would do. They thought, in fact, we're still dealing with the repercussions of that today, but they felt it could collapse the atmosphere. They did it anyway. And we have Fukushima, triple nuclear meltdown, no technology to fix it, no end in sight. We're building 60 more nuke plants right now. We have 440 online, many of them already past their functional lifespan, but they're being kept online out of desperation. It takes about 20 to 30 years to cold shut down a nuclear power plant. What's going to happen when civilization collapses? And that's not an if at this point. How are those plants going to be kept cool? Now we have Fukushima times several hundred. Even aside from that, we have climate engineering damaging the atmosphere. As I mentioned earlier, it's destroying the ozone layer, single greatest cause. It's not the hairspray cans. Those are a very small problem compared to climate engineering. And now we're susceptible to a large CME, coronal mass ejection, solar flare. So that would shut down grids around the world. That would disable nuclear power plants from being able to cool themselves. Again, Fukushima times, who knows how many, game over. So they have always done this to themselves. And anyone who thinks otherwise is simply not looking through a clear lens. And we know that they're not sane either, Peggy. We know that from psychoanalysis, literally straight from the manual. The near total lack of comprehension as to the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. Does an addict care the next fix will kill them? No.
Yes, evil can only destroy. And it will self-destruct. Yes. As we have our last bit of time here together, Dane, and I really appreciate you coming on board to share your perspective. As I say, you've been on the front lines of this for a long time. Can you help me and my audience with a few simple comebacks to the usual objection, which is, oh, it's just contrails. Oh, it's just condensation. That's one. Let's start with that one. How do you answer that in a simple way?
We have film footage of these aircraft at altitude, nozzles visible, turning on and off. End of debate. It is not condensation. You don't spray condensation out of a nozzle into the exhaust jet stream. Two, all commercial carrier aircraft and all military tankers are equipped with what's known as a high bypass turbofan jet engine. That's a jet powered fan. 90% of the air that moves through that engine is not combusted. That engine by design is nearly incapable of producing any condensation trail, except under very rare and extreme circumstances. Peggy, you've seen documentaries of researchers in Antarctica and their breath is condensing, right? Do they have a cloud hanging over their head after 20 minutes?
It doesn't spread and linger.
It dissipates immediately.
That's right.
So again, if they don't believe what they can see with their own eyes, there's nothing you or I or anyone else can tell them. And this is especially true in academia. The programming is so complete and their degrees are nothing more than certificates of indoctrination. You can't add to a cup that's already full. It is profound how programmed they are. So, and again, we have denial on the other side of the fence as well. It's not just the left. It's not just the right. From every side of the fence, there's ample denial. And we need to change that. We need to build bridges. We need to focus on a common goal. And this is the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat, this issue. So if we don't stop this, if we don't stop the decimation of the planet's life support systems, I can't stress how short our time frame is. I mean, we are on a trajectory that would make it unlikely that anyone would reach the end of this decade. And that's barring nuclear exchange that's barring a rogue meteor. That is simply with the current trajectory with business as it is today. We've lost 80 to 90% of Earth's insect populations. And Peggy, you know the bees, you know the bees are declining, you know the insects are declining, right? Have you ever heard any official source mention, oh, by the way, we have peer-reviewed study that the bees are dying of massive aluminum exposure? Peer-reviewed science study. I encourage your listeners to search bees/aluminum and then ask themselves how that can be possible that no one has covered this. The bees are dying of symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and dementia in a human being because they are packed full of aluminum. It's not just the farm chemicals, which are bad, or the radio frequencies, which are bad, but they're dying of aluminum 1,000 miles into the wilderness, and that can only come from above. So the bottom line is, plankton population as well. The UV is killing plankton. We have a recent peer-reviewed study, 90% decline in plankton in the Atlantic. No plankton, no people, no insects, no people, no trees, no people, no ozone layer, no people. That's the trajectory we're on. Climate engineering, the single biggest factor in all these equations. So the bottom line is, again, this must be a focus issue. And in regard to what we can do, what your listeners can do, they are more powerful than they would ever imagine if they simply learn how to play chess effectively. And this is why at Geoengineering Watch, we offer printed materials for less than our cost of producing and shipping to give a picture. And a picture is worth 1,000 words. Excellent. We have satellite images that you don't need to know anything about meteorological scenarios to look at those satellite images and know something is radically wrong. So if you learn to have an effective key for the door is much more likely to open, or you can share links for free from home. We produce the dimming at a cost of well into 6 figures and great effort and expense. We made that available for free the moment it was done. We did not monetize anything. My personal only goal, I live for the day when this issue is fully exposed, because then I know we have a chance of stopping it. If we can do that, we would at least buy time, and that's worth fighting for.
Well, the time is right, Dane, because people have mobilized. They've energized over the last few years. They've become more skeptical about the government, about what the government says, about what they're being told. And people are primed to fight, I will say. So this is a wonderful opportunity, friends. I always like to have action steps and solutions. And over at geoengineeringwatch.org, Dane has an abundance of materials, links that you can send, the movie, the documentary that he made, the dimming that many of you have been reminding me to talk about. So if this is something that is of interest to you, please share that. I jotted down, Dane, your comment about the aluminum causing the bees to die. And I definitely am going to cover that in greater detail. I've noticed just personally, after rain, that there are no worms crawling out from the grass. There are no little curly bugs. You can drive for miles. I used to drive in California, we drive everywhere, and you'd have bugs smattered on your windshield. Exactly. You'd have to clean off your headlights in order for them to give enough light. And now I rarely ever see any of that residue on the car. I only see the residue from what they're spraying. So the bugs, the beetles, the insects, all of those are in, massive decline. And it is very sad and it's very disheartening, but I want everyone to take hope. I want you to understand that you are here at this time learning this information for a reason. And on your website, Dane, you say again and again how important it is that the information gets out there. I do believe that people now are open to literally seeing what is in front of them, what is above them. And I've also asked people to go back maybe 20, 30 years ago, if they have pictures of their childhood, look at the skies. Well, I mean, actual photographs right before cell phones. Look at the skies. I came across some old slides and the skies were absolutely blue. That's what I remember from childhood. And, in Southern California, Palm Springs is a top destination. Years ago, we would drive out there for the blue skies. Now it's one of the worst sprayed areas, I think, in Southern California. Complete milky skies. You cannot see the mountains, which are only not that far away from you. So friends, open your eyes, take a look around. It is not a sandstorm. It's not a dust storm. It's not condensation from the plains. If that was the case, it would have been that way for many years. I've got a bonus question for you, Dane. I don't know if you know, if you know the answer, but the strangest thing that I see are these, the trails, we'll just use that word, that leave these crisscrosses, literally like X marks the spot. Do you think they're just having fun with us? Do you think that is a target? Have you, I haven't done enough digging to find out what that might mean.
We feel based on our military contacts that that may be an easy way for them to monitor airflow and particle distribution from satellite imagery. They can spot that particular feature and monitor it from there. And in regard to the loss of blue skies, that is so true. And it's so sad that so few miss those skies. And that's the title of the dimming, being the dimming, is because that is the express goal of solar radiation management, which is part of climate engineering, to block the sun. And they are not only not slowing down the warming of the planet, they are further fueling it. That those particles and these short-term engineered cool downs, surface cool downs, a very shallow layer of cold that's created from this chemical nucleation process, comes at the cost of further fueling the warming of the planet. And of course, these particles trap more heat than they deflect. And now the very premise for climate engineering, which is all entirely in the climate science community based on the temporary cooling effects of volcanic eruptions, we now know conclusively that those cooling effects are in fact exactly that, very temporary, toxic, and then the effect reverses to an exacerbated warming effect. But yet, even though the entire premise for climate engineering has been exposed as being completely false, they are pressing on and ramping up. Why? Because this was never benevolent. This is about power and control, period. And again, I can't stress to listeners enough that when they, if they change the mix anytime they want to a hemorrhagic fever like Marburg or Ebola, if they disperse something like that, we're done overnight. Final point your listeners can do to convince themselves what's falling on them, the kinds of days you describe, those hazy days after aerosol operations, if your listeners can take the brightest light they can find into a place with no light pollution, dark location, aim that light straight up into the sky, and then look straight up through that beam. And you have to see it to believe it. It looks like you're in a blizzard. You cannot see these particles during the daytime, but you can see them under those conditions. If they did that and understood how much they're breathing and every breath they take, we would have more people in this battle.
Final questions here then, Dane. Thank you for this. And this is a jumping off point for so much more research. And it's very empowering. And I want everyone to actually walk away with understanding the gravity of this, but also understanding that knowledge is power. I always go back to connection, education, which is what we're doing right now, and then taking action. I know that my sister reached out to you and she has been, she lives in an area that is very heavily sprayed. And on a clear day, it reminds people of why they want to live in California. And then when that doesn't happen, it's just, it literally is devastating. Also to the psyche, it's depressing. We're in a state of depression when we don't have sunlight, when we don't see those blue skies. She has taken action just calling the different air pollution boards. And what does it actually help? Can people call their senator, their congressman? Can they call their assembly person in California? Is there some action that a person can take to express what they're seeing, what they're experiencing, something that will make them feel better? Like I did something today.
Yes, and it does matter. And I would encourage them also to find email contacts for these so-called elected officials. And with that email, to openly CC as many other aware contacts they have so that that elected official sees that many are witnessing this exchange and this conversation, and to send a link to the dimming, for example, so that they can no longer deny that they knew about these programs, because this is how corrupt they are. Northern California's Congressman Doug LaMalfa, whom I've had no less than a half a dozen personal meetings with his staff. His staff used to call me at home to express their angst about the atmospheric spraying. And they got a call. I was told by their head staff member that they got a call to shut up about this issue from above. And they not only shut up, they begin to aggressively deny it. And that's how crooked these people are. And Congressman Doug LaMalfa told me that if I could produce credible data that, that there was in fact contamination in the rain, that he would follow up on it. I did that on film at a town hall meeting, and he looked like a deer in the headlights. Did he ever do anything about that? No, nothing. I've had personal meetings with Gavin Newsom at the Capitol as if he's anything other than a tool for the power structure, which is all he is. I presented data to Gavin and his top aide in the Capitol. They couldn't deny the data. They didn't try to deny it. They've done exactly nothing. These people serve the matrix, period. But by putting that on notice, and when they see that their constituents are also seeing this conversation, you're starting a spot fire that at some point will burn when they begin to worry about their own skin. And we have at geoengineeringwatch.org taken this further. We purchased a media list of all media, everything in the United States, about 12,000. And we mailed individual envelopes with one of our 20-page color booklets to every single media outlet. We've served every single firefighting agency in the entire West Coast from California to Washington. Same process, thousands of individual envelopes with the Geoengineering Watch color booklet inside. And even if you don't see that seed sprout, coming changing conditions will force it to sprout. And I encourage your listeners to consider that, that don't be dismayed if you don't see immediate results. But once you, if you pass on credible data, because of rapidly changing conditions, that seed will be forced to sprout. And I'll end with this, the last 5 minutes, the epilogue in the Dimming documentary, which the editor eloquently put together for us from excerpts from my Global Alert News broadcast, key statement, the last statement I make in there, that any one of us could be the final pebble that triggers the landslide of awakening. Any one of us could be that final grain of sand that tilts the scale. And people should never forget that. Share credible data from a credible source. Geoengineeringwatch.org works meticulously to be that source.
Let me share that again, Dane. Friends, this is something that you can do. He's got information here. You can share the link to the Dimming. That's an incredible amount of work that you've done, not only putting this together, but all of the material and then all of the media blitz, the government outreach and all of that. Friends, Dane has really, as you say, planted the seed. I like that, the spark to the fire, since we should have another discussion another time about these fires. But the fact is, as you say, there definitely can be a tipping point. I do believe, especially in California, that is more and more people that are affected by this, the farmers, the small business owners, those that are being taxed out of, you know, into oblivion, that they can stand up. They can start one way or another, even in the corruption of voting. Yes. They can start to get people in, especially at the local level, starting at the local level. Why not have your own city have a, you know, aerosol free zone? They can have some kind of declaration of the Clean Air Act in their own town. That is one way of getting started. In another conversation, because I need to do some research as well, I would love to know if there are any, maybe you know, Dane, if there are any effective legislative actions that have been taken in other states. This is not just California. This is happening in every state in the country. People have sent me there, and I know you've done that research as well. Every state is affected by this. Any state had any success?
Rhode Island attempted to pass legislation. We worked with their elected officials from the start. We supplied them with geoengineeringwatch.org materials. We sent our top attorney there for a legislative meeting at our expense, but it was, that fire was eventually stomped out for all practical purposes. So this comes down to the population taking to the streets with their proverbial pitchforks and torches with the realization that they are fighting for their lives. In regard to the fires, I'll only say this, I'm glad to cover this in depth at some later time. They can search the engineering wildfires section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Geoengineering is the single greatest causal factor for the epic wildfires, period. And everything else we're told is simply a lie. The notion that it's just the beetles are a symptom of a sick and dying tree from all the scenarios I mentioned earlier, the toxic soils, the UV, the cutting off of the rain. And we know, Peggy, from, for example, in remote regions of Siberia that have never been touched by human anything, that in the last decade and a half, wildfires have increased 1,000%. So what happened? It has nothing to do with thinning the understory. This is my area of expertise as well. My dad was an arborist. I've done 6 cost share programs, 3 state, 3 federal, massive habitat restoration that I ran every one of those projects. And again, that is not the reason that the forests are incinerating. And they are, in fact, and this is key, if your listeners search wildfires serve geoengineering agenda, regardless of the source of ignition, that's a separate subject. Any idiot with a match can start a fire. It's what is setting the conditions for these fires to burn with such ferocity, and that is absolutely climate engineering, and it is serving part of the climate engineering agenda to do so. There is a reason they are doing this, and that reason is shocking. They are mimicking the atmospheric particulate loading effect of a volcano to provide temporary cooling at the cost of destroying the planet's last remaining life support systems. We have peer-reviewed science study to prove what I just stated. That's not my opinion. Peer-reviewed science study. And back to the awareness raising materials, again, we've done everything we can. We at request of many, we now provide shirts and hoodies so that people have strong images on front and back to start that conversation, to get the conversation going. And once you get the conversation going, you can typically pass on enough information to make a difference. So we're trying it every way we know how. Again, any one of us, Peggy, could be the last grain of sand to tilt the scale. And we need to strive for that because we don't have much time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for this enlightening, in-depth discussion, Dane. This is so important to bring this information. And I want to thank the Healthy Americans here on board who have been asking for this interview. And I'm so grateful that it's taken place. Everybody go to geoengineeringwatch.org. Be sure that you're back with me every day here, starting at 4 p.m. Pacific for my live streams and our premier live streams like this. See you soon, everybody.
Thank you, Peggy. Gratitude's mine. Thank you.